Every time that we have a conference back home, at the end of it, the last day, when everybody says their goodbyes and parts and heads back to their home church, when the church building is silent, I find that I get PCD. That's post-conference depression. But one of these days, brethren, we won't have to part. One of these days, we'll be home at our Lord's feet, and we will be perfect, conform to His image, and be able to worship Him for eternity. What a day that'll be. Thank you all so much for your hospitality. I told David this morning, I said, they have truly treated us well. I thank you so much. Let's turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. In verse 1, we read, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? And this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin. That's my title. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And they which heard, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He that is without sin. Christ is the only one among us who is without sin. And he never casts a stone at one who he redeemed. I want to see what we can learn here by looking at these scribes and Pharisees. And then we'll look at this woman. And then we will look at Christ. What do we learn here by these scribes and Pharisees? You get the scene here. Our Lord is at the temple, and he's just off the porch of the temple out in the courtyard. And he has a crowd around him, and he's teaching them the gospel. And all of a sudden, he's interrupted. And these Pharisees are coming along, parting the crowd, and working their way up to the front. And in their grasp, they have this poor woman. And these men are religious men. They are the moral men of the day and outwardly look so righteous. And here was this woman caught in adultery, embarrassed, crying, ashamed. And they bring this woman right up to the front in front of all the people. And they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law said we should stone her. But what do you say? That's what all lawmongers do. That's what all legalists do. How many times have you ever declared to somebody that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, and have them respond by saying, "Are you saying we can break the law?" No, I'm not saying we can break the law. That's why Christ had to come. Lawmongers set the law against Christ. And they always side with the law over Christ. They defend the law rather than Christ. They don't see how you can declare that Christ fulfilled the law and that won't make a sinner want to go break the law. They don't understand how that'll make a sinner want to walk in an honorable way before Christ. They can't see that. They have to have the yoke of the law. I want you to get this. The law and Christ are not at odds.
No.
Christ is the lawgiver.
Amen.
And He is the one who came and fulfilled the law for His people. Now, if I had a glass up here, and this glass was that much from the top, that glass would not be filled full. But now, if you poured enough water in that glass to where it could not hold another drop, then it's fulfilled. It's filled full. And that's what Christ came to do to His own law. He came to fill it full. And He obeyed the law so fully, gave the law so fully everything that it demands, that you and I, His people, can add nothing else to it. Past, present, and future, the law that once condemned me now declares I'm perfectly righteous. But you and I know that we're just like these Pharisees. We have a Pharisee in our flesh and we hate him. So easily will we begin to look upon somebody for something they've done and condemn them for something they've done. And it's so easy to happen. You watch the news and somebody does something awful and you say, "I can't believe they did that." There's that Pharisee. What we're saying is, "I wouldn't do that. I'm so much better than that." But by condemning this woman with the law, the Pharisees were condemning themselves. And that's what we do when we condemn others. We condemn ourselves. Paul said, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, inexcusable, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things." Believer, you and I both know that we are in ourselves a Pharisee. How do we condemn ourselves if we condemn others? Well, one, the fulfillment of the law is love. Our Redeemer taught us that. The fulfillment of the law is love. And when we expose the sins of someone else and condemn them for their sins, that's not love, that's hatred. Love covers the multitude of sins. Hatred stirreth up strife. Two, they broke the law because the law stated they were to bring the man as well as the woman.